Welcome, everyone, to Driveline Podcast. My name is Christine Vinatieri Erickson. We are the official podcast for South Dakota Trucking and South Dakota Auto Dealers Association.
Welcome to Kentucky Horsepower, the official podcast of the Kentucky Automobile Dealers Association.
So excited to welcome you today. I've got two very special guests with me today. Jason Wilson, president of Kentucky Auto Dealers Association, as well as my brother, Adam Vinatieri. Thank you guys for joining me today. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you. Good to be with you.
So our podcast is fairly new, and we like to talk about all the things that relate to cars, trucks, lifestyle, travel, just you name it, just talking about things that we think our listeners would like to hear. And so luckily, with my unique background, I'm able to bring on my bro here today. Some of you may know who he is. I'm assuming you do. So welcome, everyone, again. So just as we begin, you know, we grew up in good old South Dakota. Adam, talk a little bit about what it was like growing up in South Dakota. You know, I'm the only girl, grew up with three tough brothers. We, you know, love to hunt and fish, and just really what it was like growing up in South Dakota.
Yeah, no, it was great. You know, obviously ignorance is bliss when you don't know all the other places out there, right? So South Dakota is normal for me, you know, a smaller town. Rapid City is not really a small town, but in the grand scheme of things, the state of South Dakota, and only having 500,000 people in the entire state, is relatively, you know, relatively urban or rural, I'm sorry, but relatively rural. And, you know, the opportunities to go and hunt and fish and be in wildlife was awesome. But yet we had a great community, and I felt like very supportive people around us. So the sports aspect of it was always there, a good quality. Obviously, you know, our parents were super supportive. Dad coached a lot of sports, and mom was always there cutting oranges and making sure we had whatever we needed to have, and cheering real loud. So it was awesome. You know, being raised there, playing in the league for as long as I have, I've met people from not only the U.S., but some foreign, you know, teammates as well. So I've got to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different areas, and you know, being from South Dakota is definitely a positive thing, not a negative thing, as far as being brought up the right way, learning, you know, good values, and really just, you know, having a good experience as you get older.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting about our background growing up, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot. We had enough. And we always had enough for sports, because that was really important to our family, to keep us out of trouble. Whether it was riding our bike to the swimming pool where you were a lifeguard and really babysat me for free because I got to hang out at the pool with you guys. But we always had enough for sports and to be active. And so we all grew up playing soccer, which in turn, I remember watching you in high school being the quarterback, the punter, and the kicker, because in a small town, you have to play all of the roles. And so growing up in South Dakota was just a little bit different than maybe some of these big towns, as I see it. Jason, I'll flip it to you for a little bit. You know, my perspective is different because, you know, this is all I know. And so, Jason, go ahead.
Well, thanks, Christina. Adam, thanks again for joining us as we, you know, as associations, we collaborate on things at different times, whether it's events or whatnot. So I appreciate the opportunity to collaborate on this podcast and talk to you. Let's fast forward a little bit. Obviously, you had a very expansive career in a National Football League. Let's talk about the beginning, the early stages of it. There was no gimmies, right? It was, you weren't a highly touted draft pick. You weren't sought after that way. You really had to earn it and have tenacity there. Talk about what that was like and sort of that mindset as it relates to, you know, going for that goal and what was involved with that.
Yeah, you know, obviously, like we just mentioned, coming from South Dakota, staying in state, going to school at South Dakota State, it wasn't a Power Five mecca football place, right? I mean, it's good football and it's good quality competition and stuff, but just a different aspect. So yeah, you know, it didn't get anything handed to me, took nothing for granted, obviously. spent right out of college, spent 6 months, about a year in Virginia working with a coach and polishing my skills, I guess, a little bit. Got fortunate enough to get picked up by the Amsterdam Admirals, which was in the NFL Europe at the time. That league is now ceases to exist. They canceled the league after, 15, 20 years, whatever. But, it gave me an opportunity to take my abilities to the next level. Although it's AAA of football, if you will, it gave me an opportunity to play professional ball and show some of these NFL teams who I was and where I come from and if I'm good enough and, be at the professional level. And worked out pretty well, signed with the New England Patriots, right? Flew home from Amsterdam, flew right to Boston, signed my contract with them. And then a couple months later, training camp started. And there's no gimmies once you're a rookie free agent from South Dakota, get picked up on a team, and you have Matt Barr, the 18-year veteran kicker there. I think most everybody didn't think I would make the team. Bill Parcells was my head coach at the time. Belichick was one of the assistants. And, they're hard-nosed. They're military type of background, which I kind of appreciate and I like. There's a lot of structure involved with it, which I honestly think is the best formula for teaching young men and anybody, kids, I guess, what the expectations are and what the consequences, good and bad, of doing a good job. So, it was a stressful year for sure. I mean, obviously, at any moment I felt like I was one kick away from getting sent back home, but, thank goodness, produced enough good stuff that year and they kept me around. And I never ever took for granted, I don't care if it was year one or year 24. I always approached every season the same way. Like, I had something to prove, and I don't care how many Pro Bowls or how many points or how many game-winning Super Bowl kicks you have. I always felt like, hey, I'm reproving and I'm re-justifying why I belong on this team. And as it went along, I think it was really cool because, a leadership role changed for me where I was that rookie, snot-nosed kid that was just trying to make a team to, then after a few years, you're the guy that, you're a member of the team. And then all of a sudden, after you've been there a handful of years and you've done some pretty good stuff, they want you to be a captain. And so I said, I transferred from rookie to a guy to big brother to dad to grandpa probably by the time I was done. Because honestly, some of the guys, I was – I've been in the league longer than some of those guys have been alive. So it was kind of neat, sitting in the hot tub and talking about, finances or relationships or whatever. They were all looking at me like, man, Adam, you've been married for 20 years. How does that work? Or what should I do with my money, versus cash it and go piss it all away kind of thing. So it was fun having not only that, but, guys asking, how do you at 47, 45, 46, 47 years old, how do you continue to keep your game at the level that you have to be in the NFL? And so I felt like my role as leader on the team was probably the thing that I was the most proud of, is just helping lead young men and trying to guide them in the right direction. And all of them are good football players, right? But then right. Some of them have to still learn how to be good men and good, just figure out life, I mean, they've been so much into football that then all of a sudden they're on their own. They've got a job and they got to figure out their finances and they got to, do all this extra stuff. So we've always had plenty of people to help along the way. But when you have an older guy on the team that's been through it for a bunch of years, it's kind of fun. It's a cool role to be in.
Yeah. You talk about that leadership and that building of culture and all that. And then looking back, boy, you had some incredible mentors, coaches, et cetera. Starting off with Bill Parcells, of course, a Hall of Fame coach. Pete Carroll, now many will consider him to be a Hall of Fame coach. Then going to Bill Belichick, then Tony Dungy. All different guys, all unique styles, but they all were very successful. Was there a common theme from a leadership standpoint or culture standpoint that they all had and that you all embraced as a team, or were each really different?
Well, honestly, very, very different styles and philosophies. I mean, the saying, there's a million ways to skin a cat. Well, truly, right? Because you know, Bill Parcells or Bill Belichick compared to Tony Dungy, you couldn't have polar opposites anymore than that to start with. Right. You know, Tony was a guy that was, you know, your friend, right? He wants to be your buddy. And he, when he asks you, how you doing today? He doesn't want the, you know, the normal answer. He wants to know how you're doing. He's more concerned mm-hmm. about you as a man or as a husband, as a brother, as a dad, than he is about football players. So it's kind of a refreshing thing. It's not necessarily the norm or a common thing in the National Football League, but, you know, for me personally, you know, again, just different ways of doing the same thing. You know, what I've come to find out is coaches can be and should be great leaders, but the best teams, the most successful teams are the ones that have the leaders that are on the field, the players, the, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes is, you know, the guys that, you know, the other players respect, not just because, not out of fear, like, oh my God, this guy holds my career in his fingertips. But when they can look at a guy and say, you know what, he does it right. I want to do what he does. I'm going to emulate what he is and what he does. So I think the best teams and the teams that I've been on that have won championships, have won Super Bowls, were the ones that had, I mean, obviously great coaches as well, but that had really good players that held everybody accountable, that held themselves accountable and expected, you know, because all they do is they just raise the level of the team up, you know. And so if the one guy down here is screwing around and partying and getting in trouble and not studying his playbook, we're only as good as him, right? So, you know, the neat thing is we've raised all the guys up to make sure that we're getting the most out of everybody. And then when there's no weak links or chinks in your armor, you do pretty good stuff.
Yeah. And one of the things that you said, I wanted to flip back to a little bit of you talking about structure and, you know, our family growing up, we had structure. We had dinner together every night. We had curfews. We had a very structured upbringing, I will say, both by our mom and dad. And as I've watched you as my brother, a husband, and a team player, one of the things that I really admired the most is that you never acted better than anybody else. So on and off the field, you were always the guy, like you weren't just the lonesome kicker. And we all know the Adam Sandler song where the kicker is kind of a head case and off in the corner. And that was never you. You were always a part of the team. You were in the gym, you were lifting with the guys, you were mentoring, you were keeping that, that style through your career from what I've noticed. And that truly had an impact on me personally to be a better person, along with just watching how you truly carried yourself and invested in these young guys. Without mentors, it's a tough place to be. And, you know, flipping back to the Belichick, the Parcells comment that you made, you know, I was a senior in high school when you were in your rookie year. And I remember watching every single kick that you had going, okay, is he making it another week? Is he making it another week? And it sent shockwaves across the NFL when this young rookie, snot-nosed kid from South Dakota wiped out the veteran. And truly, like watching you grow as a player, for me personally, I think that molded your career to know, I can be that guy. I can be the one cut next if I'm not giving it my all every single time. And that's in the off season, during the season. And I don't think the majority of people realized how the cards were stacked against you. You know, you kicked with a coach who never kicked a football in his entire life. That was your coach. You weren't drafted. You didn't go to a D1 school. You essentially were invited to walk on to an NFL team and beat the rookie out that had been there 18 plus years. We do hard things in our family, and I know that. And so for me, just all of us have walked the walk, and just as a senior in high school, watching your career and doing that, I think really molded me as a woman as well. And in my career to not take it for granted too. So not that I had a question for you, but just wanted to just maybe throw you a compliment once in a while as your sister. We don't do that very often.
Well, I appreciate that. And like you said, you know, when I talked to little kid, like, you know, coaching baseball and coaching football and, you know, and you have moments that, teaching moments for some of these young kids and stuff. And I always, I always tell them, and I know I've instilled it in my children over and over and over again, but I try to do it for all the other young kids too, in the sense that you're representing what's on your hat, you're representing the name on your back, you know, your parents, this and that. It's always, it never, you know, effort is free, right? I mean, you know, you can't, there's other people that are bigger, stronger, and faster, but they shouldn't outwork you or out effort you or whatever. And if you put 100% in whatever you do, like, and I've had conversations with my own kids, hey, listen, you know, study and try to do the best on this test that you can do, because it doesn't cost any more. Now, it takes more time, it takes more effort, but at the end of the day, if you do everything to the best of the ability that you can do, you're never, ever going to be embarrassed or look back and or look at yourself in the mirror and go, gosh, I wish I would have did a little bit more. I mean, we all get beat at times. There's times like if you prepare and you bust your butt and you do everything right and you still get beat, you can look at yourself and go, you know what? They were just better than us. You know, I can live with that. But if you get beat because you didn't do what you're supposed to do, that's a hard pill to swallow. And so that's some of the stuff, like not every kid's going to make it into the NFL. I got very fortunate to have some stars line up and just fell into the right situation. And don't get me wrong, I worked my butt off too to have that, you know, to have that happen. But you have to have a little luck as well, and you have to have a good support system, and you have to have all that stuff. But I always tell these, you know, not only kids, adults, anybody, you know, people that you guys work with, if you expect good things, you got to work for them. If you just expect a six-figure job and paid vacations and all this stuff, but you don't want to be a savage and work your balls off to do that, well, what are we talking about, right? So, you know, it goes to say, and it's not always about money and prestige and power and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just about, if you want to be successful in life, you get out what you put into it, and the world doesn't care. If you don't want to work hard, and nobody's going to make you do it, but just know that life is going to be different than if you want some special stuff, whatever that special stuff is. You want to graduate with honors, you want to go to med school, you want to do, you know, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. The good stuff comes with a lot of hard work and effort. And most people, unfortunately, most people aren't willing to put the effort in to achieve that. They right. go, it's too hard, it's too tough, I don't want to do this, whatever. And so they never achieve it. And then they look back on life, go, damn, what if I would have, you know? So right. that's what I always try to teach little kids. And that's kind of why I was talking about Parcells and Belichick. They always made it harder in practice, or you know, they always made difficult situations, because then when you got into live situations, it just, you knew what to do. You didn't panic, you didn't overreact. You just went out there and you performed your job and you did well. So, you know, and that comes back to what you were talking about with us and our family structure and chores and doing all that stuff. I think we coddle our kids too much this day and age. We try to spoil them, and we try to, oh, we don't want them to have to do the stuff that we had to do. And we're top generation, not, you know, in general, right? That's, I mean, true. You know, the United States kids, you know, are soft. I mean, they just are, you know, and that's a sad thing, because other countries are starting to catch us and pass us in certain areas, because we're just not that tough anymore.
Right. You know, that raises the question I had for Adam, because, you know, one of the things we talk about, and again, you had a expansive 24-year career in the NFL, tons of teammates through the years, but as the latter part of your career, you know, you can think back when you were that rookie, right, in that early 20-something, now you're the older person, now you got the 20-somethings coming in, now you're not that far removed from the game, and one of the things we hear from folks in our world, and whether it be our dealers or whatnot, is sometimes the challenges of connecting with that next or younger generation. And we're not here to say, get off my damn lawn. It's not that kind of thing, but there are differences. What did you see from a player perspective in such a competitive environment, you know, like the NFL, with that change in philosophy, attitude, mindset, what have you?
Yeah. Well, I played three decades, right? I mean, played from the 90s to the 2019 was my last year. And so much changed. I mean, a lot of good things, you know, the rules and the, you know, protecting the safety of players and all that stuff. Great. Some of that stuff is great. The thing that I think on the other side is all this social media stuff and guys started thinking about, hey, my followers are more important than my team, and how can I live stream in a locker room? And might not be the right thing for the team, but it gives me another 100,000 followers and stuff like that. And like I said, that's, you know, it's something that it's a major challenge for coaches and some of the guys to try to have to handle and deal with some of that. I know they're seeing it in the college level as well, but you know, the thing that I noticed that helped is when you have some of the older veterans that are great leaders to help the young guys kind of know what to expect, right? Like, hey, if I want to be the next Dwight Freeney, I should emulate everything he does. I should work my butt off. I should literally, when I'm not in, I should be watching him and seeing how he prepares to get ready for practice, what he does in the off time and the off season. And so, yeah, the younger generations, you know, especially after COVID, nobody wants to come to work anymore. Nobody wants to do a 40-hour work week at the office. But the ones that are willing to do that are the ones that are going to jump up the ladder that much faster, because it's just the ones that are willing to work hard and sacrifice, work on a weekend, put in some extra hours, whatever it may be. And it's no difference in your industry or my industry. You know, the kids that are going out and working out and hey, it's a weekend when people are out partying or having a good time, but he's out on the field practicing or whatever. I mean, there's a reason why these people, you know, are achieving great things. So, you know, it has changed a lot. It's been a completely different thing. You know, some of the old guys sit there and go, man, I don't like how it's changing, but change is inevitable. It's just a matter of, can we make sure to keep the younger generation, our teammates, the people in your industry, the younger ones, they all have to realize the common goal and what we're all trying to achieve. And if they're good team players and they're on board, they're going to do the right stuff. And then, you know, sometimes the ones that aren't have to be weeded out. You know, it's like tough stuff isn't for everybody. And the guys that can't hack it in my industry and probably yours aren't around very long. So the ones that have the tenacity and work hard, they're the ones that move up the ladder pretty quickly, I think.
And I think that goes back to relationships too, in building the level of trust. You know, you work out together, or maybe you're in the office longer, or you're working on an event together. Those relationships build so much trust. And I know me as a leader, you know, when I see my staff putting in the extra effort, I want to do more for them. I'm like, work hard, play hard. Let's find ways that we can do that. And, you know, as our trucking companies and our automobile dealers, they're the backbones of these communities. They really are the cornerstone. They're the sponsors of the little league team, the high school football team, whatever it is. And so as they're continuing to build their team and the next generation and mentor them, it's so important. And seeing you do that too, as you've had a longer than average career in the NFL, we'll see.
Right. No, for sure. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the your guys' dealerships and stuff, they're the communities. I mean, they're the ones that do everything. It goes without saying, they're the ones that are sponsoring all the different stuff, and they do all the different things in the community. So it's neat to see how a few good people in the right positions can change, you know, an entire community.
Really can. Yeah, that's for sure. Okay. So question for you, you've had so many, and we've talked about this a little bit. You've had so many accomplishments in your career. You've had so many notable experiences, records, the kick in the snow. I think a lot of times what people don't realize is that kick in the snow, and they talk about the tuck rule, they miss the fact that in order to get to that point, you had to kick pretty long field goal in snow, which, hey, you did that growing up anyway, so we get it. And then to win that, whether it's having the most points in the NFL or the Super Bowl rings and that, what, and I guess you could probably pick your top three, we'll say, because I think it's hard to pick just one with your career. Top three accomplishments, experiences, whatever that is, and maybe why, from your football career, we'll say.
Well, first one I would say, and it's even before I made it into the league, but just having having the faith and the courage to pack up my truck, leave South Dakota, and take a chance, right? I mean, that's one of the things that so many people don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't know, you know, this might not work out. I mean, I remember jumping in my truck and heading to Virginia and getting a job waiting tables just to get enough money to pay for my rent. And I mean, I'm putting life on hold if it doesn't work out. But like, I sat there and I was like, you know what? I'll never know if I don't do it, right? And so it was never an option, like, I'm not going to do it. It was just the fact that I had enough courage to go and take a leap of faith. And that's the thing that, and you're not always successful. I mean, there's plenty of times that you swing and miss, right? We strike out at times, but the people in this world, you know, that, you know, Apple was started in a garage from a couple of men that decided that they wanted to try to see if they could achieve something, you know, Tesla, right? I mean, damn, it seems like every 2 minutes he's doing something new or different or whatever. He takes chances all the time. And he's like, you know, if I go bankrupt, I'll start over, right? And so I think in life, anybody that's willing to take some chances and some risks become, you know, even if you fail, you learn, right? We have so many valuable lessons from failing too. Hey, you know, that way didn't work. Let's try something else, right? So I would think number one accomplishment is just the fact that, like I said, I wasn't Peyton Manning, right? I wasn't the number one draft pick and the whole world wanted me, right? I was some snot-nosed kid from South Dakota that nobody knew who I was. So I had to literally knock down doors and go halfway around the world just to get seen. And then once you get seen, you still have to do your job and do it well. So I guess for me, number one is being able to say, I took the leap of faith and went after it. And then, you know, I suppose, you know, the kick that I'm the most proud of is definitely the one in the snow, because just the sheer difficult level of that. You miss it, you're packing up your locker and everybody's going home.
The one to tie in the snow.
Yeah, the 45 yard or whatever. And then anytime you kick a game winner in a Super Bowl, there's nothing like that, right? So I would say the first time, you know, second time was cool doing that the second time, but the first time when you get to hold that trophy and you know, that's, it's pretty awesome. I always say I never bake the cake. I just get to put the icing on it at the end of the game. So, running down Herschel Walker my rookie year was pretty athletic. Throwing a touchdown pass to Troy in one of the seasons was pretty epic. So when you play that long, there's 20 or 30 different moments that stand out even more than the rest of them. But I would say those two kicks and the packing up my truck and heading out were probably my three things I'm the most proud of.
Right.
Hey, Christine, let me ask you real quick, as a family member, right? So you all were at that Super Bowl against the Rams where he kicked that game winner, and subsequently you ran into Kurt Warner a lot long ago and had a funny conversation with him. You need to recount that real quick. But what was that like as a family member being in that situation?
Yeah, so I was we split the stadium. I was across the stadium, and I will tell you, there was the most annoying guy in front of me that just kept talking trash. Not a lot of people wear Vinatieri jerseys or kicker jerseys. They're like, "Well, you must be family." So he just kept heckling and heckling and heckling. And it was coming down to the end and he was leaving. And I remember shouting, "Where are you going? The game's not over." And so as we realized that, oh my gosh, this could come down to a kick, we bolted across the stadium so we could be together as a family. And, you know, in true form, you know, you see Adam warming up a little bit on the side and knowing it could come down to him and trotting out to the field. And I say trot because if you watch any kicker go out on the field, they trot out on the field. And so, but we all were just semi covering our eyes, not sure, but together as a family. And, you know, seeing really my parents like burst out into tears, just could not believe it, was probably, one of the better moments as well. But we were all together just jumping up and down and going crazy. The other thing is, after the game, they have after parties. And so they go on to win, amazing, all of this. So they have an after party for the families. And as a family, we're all there. And Adam was absolutely being mauled. The media was around him. There was all these people. And, you know, I'm a little spicy. Our mom's a little spicy. I remember our mom and my brother Bo and Chad walking into there and being like, I just want a minute with my son. And my mom is shouting it and grabbing him. And everybody just wants to really just hug and love on his accomplishment. But just, you know, for us, it was just, we're just South Dakotans. We're just, you know, here, and seeing everybody around him was really, really cool. That was quite the experience. And, you know, we've had a lot of those experiences where we've got to share that together as a family, with Adam's family, as well as, you know, my kids, watching it through the eyes of our kids. I know, Adam, you probably have things to share about that as well, as your kids are similar age to mine. But being in the NFL and having your kids sit in the stadium has got to be a wild ride, because I know my boys getting to watch you and meet some of the other players has been just unbelievable too. We were just in Vegas for our National Auto Dealers Association, and Kurt Warner was there. I think I might've shared this with you. And I had the opportunity to meet him, and I walked up to him and I said, Mr. Warner, I'm Christine Vinatieri. It's nice to meet you. And he says, your brother stole a ring from me. And I paused because I barely got my name out. And, you know, Vinatieri is a pretty unique last name, you know, it's different. And so having him say that, and we got to talk for a few moments, and, you know, I wanted to pop off and say, well, should have scored that extra touchdown or something like that. But
just busted his balls and said, I'm actually his daughter, not his sister.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I should have said that.
Right.
Just the level of respect through the players as well speaks volumes to your character too. So
yeah, I appreciate it. No, it's it was a good run. It was fun. It's fun. It's always fun to hear stories of where people were at and what they were doing. I mean, the Bostonian people all the time are always like, oh, I was here. And, you know, they talk about, you know, everybody ran out into the street and we're celebrating and stuff. But, you know, I've seen a couple of the pictures of like you guys in the stadium and stuff after the kick. I think Chad has a great one and he's like, ah, you know, I have that picture. And it's kind of neat just to be able to celebrate it and share it with the whole family and everybody. It's pretty awesome.
So it's probably not over yet though, right? I mean, you are,
I'm done. I'm retired, buddy. There's no more kicks for me.
No more kicks, but the Hall of Fame is down the road, I think. And that should, and I suspect will be a very real thing. That will be another experience that you all get to share as a family together.
Hopefully we'll see. You know, there's only two kickers in the hall. So, you know, I'm my first year of eligibility will be this coming year. So we'll see, you know, expectations or whatever. I'll be super honored and super pleased if it happens this year or any year after this. And yeah, it'll be a hell of a party if it happens.
So one more thing that I want to just mention, obviously with kids and being involved in athletics, whether it's horseback riding or baseball, AJ, your oldest son, actually is on the football team in Louisville. So talk a little bit about that. I think the connection between, you know, Kentucky and Indiana and South Dakota is all unique.
Yeah, no, he's at Louisville this year. Transferred from Ball State a year ago to Louisville. He's got a real opportunity to hopefully get on the field this year, which is pretty exciting for all of us. And it's only 2 hours down the road from us. So that's always a nice thing too, not being halfway across the country and having to jump on airplanes and stuff. So I'm excited for him. He's been working his butt off, and hopefully it works out well. And once he gets an opportunity to get on the field, hopefully he'll shine. So we're all excited. We all have our red Cardinal stuff, you know, and all that. I didn't wear it today. I probably should have, you know, a little support for him. But yeah, they go back here in a couple of weeks and training camp starts up and summer camp. And yeah, it'll be on us before we know it. It'll be fun. And honest to God, I think I get more nervous watching my kids play than when I was playing myself, because you're a spectator and you can't change, you can't do anything about it. So for me, you know, I know even my youngest Gabe, you know, in seventh grade, he had a couple game winning field goals, and I'm on the sideline because I'm coaching him. And damn, I was more nervous for that than I think I was in the Super Bowl myself. So, yeah, I'll be nervous watching AJ's games as well, but part of the deal, you know?
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for our listeners for tuning in. We hope you took a different nugget away on how you can relate this back to your business, as well as learning maybe something different that you didn't know about Adam's career. So thank you for your time. Jason, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And stay tuned for more Driveline podcasts.